The show you're about to listen to is very old and comes with a warning. When we recorded these shows over a decade ago, the world was a different place and we were little more than children. As a result of this, you might hear a few things that by today's standards we judge to be inappropriate or offensive. Please don't be offended. In the years that have passed since recording these shows, we've all grown up to be wonderful, loving, liberal, free-thinking, open-minded individuals. If the us from over a decade ago say something to upset the you of today, please understand that we're as disgusted with ourselves as you are. But isn't this what life is all about? Learning and growing? We all said and did things in our younger days that make us cringe when we think about them. We just recorded it and put it out on the internet. With all that in mind, I hope you enjoy the show. Oh, and there's just one more thing. Don't email the show or try to enter competitions. We don't have that email anymore, and all the competitions are over. We do have a Facebook group where you're very welcome to discuss any aspects of the podcast. Please visit simplysyndicated.com for more information.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
Hello and welcome to this week's Make It So, episode number 16.
Number 16?
We're doing ever so well now.
We're doing very well.
Cool. This week we're going to be discussing different Star Trek weapons. Again, this has come from an email. Let me get the guy's name up. I'm going to say his surname wrong. I'm sorry about this. It's Zach Rubleski.
Let me guess, he's American.
Yes, he's from Louisiana in the United States of America.
Although, much like Cody, you wouldn't have guessed with a name like Zach.
That's it. You're not from here.
You're not from here.
You're not from
with
around
a name like Zach,
here.
We don't name people with the beginning with the letter Z here.
Oh, well.
Never mind.
I don't know. Maybe it's our loss.
Maybe it is our loss.
I don't care.
I wouldn't mind a name beginning with Z.
No meaning on my life whatsoever.
Zykel or Zichit.
Zichit. Or Zichit, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, dear God, I apologize.
That's foul.
I'm sat here sipping Cherry Coke.
Cherry Coke.
And bending over.
Gassy. Gassy man.
Anyway, Zach writes, no, I knew a Zach. Sorry, once.
You knew a Zach?
Yeah.
Were his parents American?
No. So, Zach writes, what do you think of the different weapons in Star Trek, and specifically if bullets can kill the Borg like in First Contact? Why don't starships have a complement of assault rifles? Just a thought. We'll come back to the Borg stuff.
Yes.
We'll save that till the end. We'll just generally talk about the weapons of Star Trek.
Okay.
We've got quite a selection to deal with because you've got all the different weapons of the different races and the different ships.
Yes.
Do you want to start with ships?
Let's start with ships. Okay, so we've got phasers.
Phasers are repeatedly shown to be nearly useless in a crisis situation.
Yeah.
I find they generally don't do much damage.
No.
What I don't understand is why don't you just fire photon torpedoes?
When yeah.
You've absolutely, positively got to kill every motherfucker on a starship.
Why don't you use photon torpedoes?
Photon torpedoes.
Yes. That's a good point. The only instance that springs to mind where phasers were particularly useful was in Star Trek 2. When the Enterprise gets pulverized by the Reliance phasers.
Yes, that's very true. Yes.
But even then, I can remember the torpedoes being more effective.
Of course, they blast through the ship and all that sort of
yeah.
thing. Why don't you just use photon torpedoes? Granted, you've only got so many and you can run out, so you want to use them sparingly.
But then your phasers run out as well.
Phasers are very poor. Why don't they just leave them on? Why do they do little blasts?
That's another problem.
Maybe they just run out. I don't know. But can't you do better than that? It's the 24th century. You've got warp drive.
When you put it into the handheld device, you know, why wouldn't you just walk into a room? You know, when they come into a room and they're in a firefight and, you know, it's a bang, 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 and they're firing them like guns. Now, this is a device that can hold a constant stream of deadly laser, effectively.
Yes.
And kill, like you say, every motherfucker in the room. So why don't you just turn it on, hold it on,
and wave your arm
just
about
wave it. Your arm around like a madman for a couple of minutes, and then
there's nothing at all in front of you anymore.
Pretty much guaranteed to do it. And why do they ever use kill when there's a vaporize option? maybe the vaporized option uses the battery.
The vaporized option raises many questions.
Hmm.
We're off ships here.
We are off ships here.
I've got lots of questions about hand phasers that I want to come back to. Lots of questions.
Right, okay. So we're staying on ships.
We start off, so phasers, I feel, on Federation ships in particular, are particularly weak, especially the early Enterprise. We were just talking about Star Trek Legacy, the computer game. Phasers are crap. They're rubbish. We have photon torpedoes, which we didn't start off with in the original Enterprise.
I suppose they had torpedoes.
Yes, but just torpedoes.
Just torpedoes, not photon torpedoes.
No.
Now, I suppose with the phasers, especially in next gen, you've got the... because there's like phaser platforms, isn't there? There's the little ones underneath the nacelles. There's one at the back underneath.
Yeah.
And then there's the two fuck-off rings.
Yes.
At the bottom and the top, which could fire from any spot within the ring.
Yes.
And any direction. So they're more versatile in where you can hit.
Yeah.
That would be the advantage, really. The torpedo bank was at the bottom of the ship, at the back, or at the front.
But the torpedoes would fly out and then seek out what they were programmed to hit.
Did they?
Yeah.
Or did they just generally go in that direction?
No, you could program them. They flew around all over the place.
I'm sure the only time they did that was in Star Trek VI.
That's crap if they can't do that. We can do that with missiles now.
Yeah.
They must be able to do it by
But there's
then.
A few things like that. For example...
That's an episode in itself, really. I think, like, things in Star Trek that they should have had, really.
Well, nukes, for example. Not being funny about this or anything, but, you know, you're firing torpedoes at a massive, great big ship. Now, you're a few centuries ahead, and granted, they're not a very nice thing, but surely...
As a defensive weapon in that context.
A defensive weapon in space, a nuclear weapon would be...
If you're going to blow up someone's ship, what difference does it make how you do it?
Yeah.
Whether it's nuclear or not, so why not make it the biggest thing you've got?
Yeah, and, you know, okay, maybe the scruples or there was some kind of extraordinary Geneva Convention where all nuclear weapons were banned in the Federation, but surely the Klingons and the Romulans and or somebody else would have worked it out sooner or later.
I think you're being tainted by Battlestar Galactica. I think it was sort of implied for me that photon torpedoes were far more powerful.
Than nuclear bombs?
But they're clearly not, now you bring it up and point
they're
it
not.
Out. They're not. So they should have had nuclear bombs, like Battlestar.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Never mind.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough. They didn't really have any other weapons, did they? We heard occasionally about lasers in Next Gen. That were very underpowered and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Like they were firing at us with lasers?
They
were really?
Penetrate out, was it geographical shields? Something
like that, yeah.
The shields that are always on to protect you from bits of rock and stuff like that in space.
That's right. They get attacked by some mediocre race, but they're just trying to get their attention or something like that.
Were you ever slightly disappointed that between Next Gen and original series... And in fact, all the consequent series that followed, there was never a particular change in weapons technology.
Ah.
We saw a couple of things. Okay, then, you're going to say Defiant Phasers, aren't you?
Well, I'm going to say Defiant Phasers and Quantum Torpedoes.
Quantum Torpedoes.
Now, Quantum Torpedoes are very interesting in the fact that they look, sound, and effectively do exactly the same thing as Photon Torpedoes.
But they're white.
Well, blue, I think.
Okay, fair enough.
That was it.
I always thought the point was they were more powerful. Surely that was the point.
Probably, but
quantum
they never...
torpedoes.
Well, they never seemed to cause any more damage than a photon torpedo. So
no, they didn't, did they?
No.
That's very true. Poor weapon there. But I mean, like, we never got a new weapon. It was always phasers, torpedoes.
Occasionally
and
the
then
deflector
we'd meet
dish.
Other races, and they'd have their phasers and
their
torpedoes.
Or disruptors, or
yeah,
which
and
were
disruptors
phasers.
Was just another word for phasers.
Phaser.
It's
yeah.
the difference between trousers and pants
yeah.
and stuff like that. It's the same bloody thing.
Mm.
So, cop out. But different races obviously had their different coloured phasers
yes.
/ disruptors.
Yes.
No, I don't think they ever came up with a new name for photon torpedoes. Everyone had photon torpedoes.
No, yeah, they did, didn't they? Yeah, there was just a complement of photon torpedoes. Interesting how the photon torpedoes seemed, not always, but seemed to have a certain amount of colour coordination with the ship. The Romulans being a pertinent example with that. I'm sure the phasers were green and the torpedoes were green.
Yeah.
I think the Klingons were red.
Yes, they were.
Jem'Hadar were definitely purple, like the ships.
It works well, though.
Do you reckon they've got, like, weapon graphic designers?
Maybe.
Maybe there's, like, a shop somewhere. It's like, here comes your new state-of-the-art Jem'Hadar ship, comes with matching torpedoes and phaser rifles.
Hey, look at Air Force planes now.
Yeah?
With the missiles and bombs that are the same colour as the ship.
I suppose.
Happens now, why not in the future?
Why not in the future? Everyone has to look a little bit stylish when they're trying to blow motherfuckers out of the stars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But there were no major advancements in weaponry. We never saw anything particularly good. And no one ever made anything particularly special in as a weapon to be used against anyone.
Well, there was the thing that the Scimitar was going to be using, wasn't there? There was that special...
That was it, but that was a one-off thing.
Yeah.
I wanted, like, a new version of phasers or something like that. I don't know. You sort of got it with the Defiant thing.
Yeah.
But there were still phasers.
They were just firing really, really fast, like a machine gun.
Yeah, not everybody had it.
No.
It was pointless.
Yeah.
Pointless.
Yeah.
That's Federation weaponry. I'm just trying to think of other weapons we've had.
They all had the same thing. They just they had, like we said last week, they had the Borg had the shield dispersing photon torpedo that would hit the shields and damage the shields a bit. And you know, but it was just variants on what the weapon would actually do. You know, they fired a weapon at us, it didn't actually do anything, but it's knocked all our memory out, you know, or something like that. Which I always thought would be a wicked way to do it, you know, just fire one shot at them, everyone's memory's gone, they're disorientated for 20, 50 minutes, you know, ba-bam, 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 can't remember how to use the ship, whoops.
That's it, then you get it.
Yeah.
Good plan. We've seen several time-based weapons, haven't we? We've seen a time ship on Voyager that was causing a lot of problems. Was that in the Year of Hell or something like that?
Can't remember.
Yeah, because they made it they made it so that it never happened at the end of it or something like that.
Right.
I don't know. Time, again, always done badly, but very difficult to do well and very difficult to stay away from in a series like Star Trek.
Yeah.
We do like them, and I think for that 3/4 of an hour, we do just let the belief in everything go. I mean, we're watching them fly around at warp speed in space, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
We forgive the indiscrepancies with the time episodes. One of my particularly favourite weapons throughout Star Trek was one used by... What was the name of the people in Voyager who were all dying of the phage?
The phage...
Yes, people who were organ harvesters, all their skin was dropping off. And stuff
those guys. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, the episode where they attacked Voyager and Neelix was that with a gun and it transported his lungs out of him.
How cool
was that? That was pretty good. Mm. The gun that doesn't kill you, it just removes an organ.
Harvests, recycling, eco-friendly.
Well, not quite recycling. As such, more stealing.
More stealing and using for other things.
Yes. Your organ donor stuff is
Well, maybe you could get
something.
Away with that, you know, when you knock someone off and, like, you know, rob everything out of the house. I'm not stealing your television. I'm recycling it.
I don't think that would wash.
I think that would hold up in a court of law. You could probably argue that, maybe.
No,
don't
anybody do that based
Decent
on
lawyer.
Mike's recommendations.
Go on, try it out.
Don't.
Let me know how it works out for you.
That can only end badly.
They have broadband in prison. They can tell us what happened.
That's true.
Yeah.
Now, let's get on to the Borg issue.
Hmm.
This is a good example of some of the things that just aren't thought through and perhaps they go a bit wrong within Star Trek.
Yeah.
We find out that the Borg adapt to the frequency used within the hand phasers.
And the ship phasers
and
as well.
All the phasers.
And the torpedoes.
General, all of those. Although
How exactly they adapt to torpedoes kind of eluded me a little bit.
That is a failure in it. But they do that as well with the hand photon torpedo launchers that they use in First Contact. They look like phaser rifles, but they actually launch miniature photon torpedoes.
Don't remember that. Oh, yeah.
They just look like phaser rifles, but they're not. They're
mini.
Yeah, photon torpedo launchers.
Torpedo launchers.
But they adapt to those as well. Now, what Zach is asking in First Contact, Captain Picard kills two Borg with a holographic replication of a Tommy gun.
Yes.
Which clearly fires bullets as opposed to
phased energy
and all that sort of thing. They have a problem with it in that they can't adapt because it's bullets and they just die. So why don't they just have a complement of assault rifles on a starship? For the same reason they don't have seatbelts or toilets.
Right.
Really? I think?
Yeah.
That's why. Of course it would make perfect sense to do it.
Well, you say that, but the whole thing with the Borg is that they've got a personalised shield around them at all times, haven't they? And then
that shield
adapts to whatever's around them. So surely they could just put a shield up that would stop bullets.
Who knows? No one ever bloody tried it.
Interestingly enough, guns, when they were very rarely used, and it was often in episodes on holodeck that go wrong, like the first Dick Tracy episode, where the dude who's an expert on 20th century history gets shot and he's dying slowly. Guns tend to actually have more of an effect on people in Star Trek, and I don't know whether or not that was to sort of like discourage people from actually using guns in real life, but guns seem to be a little bit more deadly than the phaser, oddly enough.
Yeah, they were far more frightening. I was got the feeling that they were supposed to be misunderstood by whoever they were being pointed at.
Yeah.
They were very archaic
weapon
sort of thing.
Kind of like if someone came over with a bow and arrow and pointed at you and you're like, haha, what are you doing with a bow and arrow? It can still fucking kill you.
I'd be more scared of a mad fucker with a crossbow than a mad fucker with a gun. Anyone can get a gun. Anyone can go out and find a gun and go and shoot in a crowd. If a man is out on the kill with a crossbow, you know he's probably meaning business.
He's an enthusiast.
He is a killing enthusiast.
Right.
A man who uses a crossbow by choice is someone for whom killing things is a hobby.
Yeah.
Good or bad.
Fair enough, yeah. Okay.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
Or even worse, he's just a big enough nutter to collect things that are made for killing people.
Such as crossbows.
So, yeah, I'd be more afraid of him. He's probably more likely to be able to get you.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, let's move on to handheld then.
Handheld weaponry.
Where were the grenades, I always wondered?
Nothing like that.
No.
Nothing like that at all.
Didn't they have like a phaser grenade at some point?
I don't remember seeing one, but it sounds familiar.
Someone chucks it into a room and it starts firing out in all directions and a few people get zapped.
See, that'd be a cool invention.
I'm sure that happened in one episode. Sure it did, and it
sounds
was a disruptor
familiar.
As well, or it was beamed on when the ship was fucking up and something like a trap. I can't remember, and a couple of security guards get nailed. It eludes me at the moment, but yeah, something like that. You just have a phaser grenade which just keeps firing out in random directions.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
There was something similar occurred on an episode of Deep Space Nine, I remember. I think an early episode where they tripped some sort of safety security mechanism in the station.
That was the one. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
And the station is defending
shut down,
itself
defending
from
itself,
an invasion.
Yeah.
That something appears in the replicator on the...
Starts firing, and then Goldacat turns up later on, and it's programmed not to fire at Kardashians, and he just walks through and it misses him every time deliberately.
That's it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, something like that, but in a handheld device. That
would
have been
a very good idea.
That would have been very cool.
Very good idea. We had a couple of types of hand phaser.
Yes, the original series phaser. Now, I preferred these babies, not necessarily the antenna on the front, but certainly later on in... the films, they looked quite cool.
There were a few versions.
There were.
We had, first of all, there was a Type 1 phaser that was the little Remington shaver box.
Yeah.
And then there was the Type 2 phaser, which was the pistol-shaped one, but that was actually an attachment for the Type 1 phaser. It sort of slotted into the top, and it had the handle then, and more power with it and stuff like that.
Right.
For the... movies, they just got nicely... They're actually closely resembling the phasers the Romulans use, I think.
Yes, the disruptor rifles. No. The disruptor rifles has like a rounded double handle, doesn't it?
Yeah, just the handheld disruptors.
Just the handheld disruptors. Oh yeah, yeah. But they looked more like guns, which made them look a little bit cooler, I think. And
yeah,
and they're certainly better than the next gen original phasers.
Tiny wee baby ones.
Oh no, but there was the tiny wee baby ones, which were like the size of I don't know, a Motorola mobile, and then there was the ones which were the size of, well, this microphone, which
were huge,
but they didn't have any curve on them. They were massive, big, bulky fuckers, and they were shit. And then, they refined them into smaller looking
the ones that
you get the toy of.
Yeah, I have one of those somewhere.
And then later on, they became even more curvy in the handle, and they looked a little bit more like guns again.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now.
Mm.
Yes, they did. Just trying to remember some of the other gun-like ones. The Ferengi ones were quite... No, I'm thinking of the card. Which were the ones that seemed to have a very weird angle on the hand, on the handle of the gun? It was more V-shaped than anything else, rather than a sort of skewed L shape.
Can't remember. I'm trying to remember.
I think it was like, it was either the Ferengi guns or the Cardassian guns, and I think I'm thinking of the Cardassian weapons from Deep Space Nine.
Probably.
They were a little weird.
Yeah.
The Ferengi had lots of weird... Yeah, it would have been... Oh, see, I'm rubbish now.
No, the Ferengi had the whips and shit like that, didn't they?
Oh, we only saw the whips once.
Yeah.
They were only supposed to be very scary at the beginning, and they
yeah, it suddenly became not. It was kind of like the bit of the end of Masters of the Universe where... Neil!
All of
I'll
that.
Never hear you!
Except for now... Terrible film.
Terrible film. Let's not mention that.
No.
What else have we got? We've got the weapons in... what did the Jem'Hadar use? They had a special type of disruptor, if I remember correctly.
Rifles, we had rifles. I don't remember the Jem'Hadar weapons, I'm afraid.
They had rifles.
Oh, they were quite square and pointy.
Yeah. Now, who had the ones that were attached to their hands?
Oh, now you're asking. I don't know.
There was one that was attached to the hand, and it was like, it was reacted by them clenching their fist or something like that.
That's pretty cool.
And it was like attached to the, so it was just bang, bang, bang. Just
no, I don't remember that.
That was quite.
Was that Stargate?
That might have been Stargate, I'm thinking of.
Oh, dear.
Never mind.
And on a Star Trek podcast.
On a Star Trek
podcast.
Wash
your mouth out.
Wash my mouth out with soap. Oh, I just thought of one that was really, really good. Now it's gone.
Shit.
Name some aliens. Ah, the Klingons. They had the kind of a Star Trek equivalent of a desert fucking eagle.
Yeah, they did. Theirs was quite pointy and tubular.
And large.
Yes, it was that
really
as well.
Big fuck off guns.
And remember the episode where we saw two Klingons build a gun out of articles of clothing?
Yes.
And then take over the Enterprise with it?
Yes.
My God, what a Klingon can do with a single gun made out of a belt buckle, a shoelace, and a cigar lighter.
Yes. Kind of like the Star Trek equivalent of the A-Team.
Put Scaramanga to shame.
Mm. But you always got the feeling with the Klingon guns that there was all that excess just in case they ran out and they really wanted to thump someone with it.
You got that feeling with a lot of Klingon weapons.
You know, at least if it runs out, then I can throw it at them or something. I don't know.
The Klingons definitely had the best weapons.
Mm.
Now, they were also later became known for lots of stabbing and slicing.
I wasn't thinking of Stargate. I was thinking of the Borg in Descent.
All right, okay.
They had the guns that were on top, attached to the top of the hands.
I'll be watching that shortly.
And fired out. On the top of their hands by clenching their fist, I'm pretty sure.
I haven't watched that again recently. It's the end episode of season 6, and I'm not watching that until season 7 is in my hand.
Okay.
You know what it's like. They'll end and then, oh God.
Descent Part 1 is a lot better than Descent Part 2, mainly because Lore isn't in it.
Is he not in the first part?
Until the very, very end, the very last scene.
Stop it. Stop.
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 Stop. I got angry. Oh no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
That's the first emotion you've ever experienced. No, it's not. Q made you laugh.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah. What else?
Rifles. We go through a couple of carnations of phaser rifle.
The ones in Voyager, they were... Another reason Voyager was shit. Those rifles were rubbish.
Well, they stayed the same because the idea being they weren't around to get issued with new stuff.
Yeah, but
which is why the uniforms never changed.
Yeah, but they had special ones that were like, they were the new ones when they started Voyager.
Yes, they did, yeah.
Which were
rubbish. the phaser rifles, you never actually saw what was more special about them than a hand phaser. Yeah. I mean, you can vaporize someone with a hand phaser, so why do you need a bigger one?
I think they were sort of designed, the big rifles were sort of designed to blow up buildings or something like that if you put them on
really?
A high enough setting, yeah. It's, or the span of it, so, because you could not only, they never did this, but you could also tune it out so
widen
that it would
the beam.
Widen the beams.
Like
so
when
would,
you turn your torch from spotlight mode.
Yeah, so you could like, you could expand it so it would take up, I don't know, if you had it far enough away, you could take up like a mile
yeah.
across if you really wanted to, which would make long
a mile across.
Across a field. Do you imagine that? Loads of people running at you and you go, bang, and kill off a thousand people.
It raises an interesting question with the phasers.
Mm.
Are we to assume that a phaser has infinite range on it?
Well,
if I got a phaser and just set it up to fire a continuous beam, would that beam travel forever, or would it reach a point where the energy from the beam had dissipated so much that the beam just fades away to nothing?
Well, I imagine it dissipates because...
Okay, so that must mean...
You never hear of like a battle where the phaser fire misses the ship...
And just goes
and
on
And just
forever.
Keeps going on
no,
and
you don't.
Then hits some random alien.
And that is what would happen.
Yeah.
Having a weapon that went on indefinitely is a bad move.
Yeah.
So that must mean there must be a point where that energy goes from being dangerous to being not dangerous.
Mm.
So in theory, if we had like a long enough runway or whatever, and we set a phaser up firing a beam, then you could walk to the end of the beam and sort of just look at it and touch it, perhaps.
Perhaps.
That's a crazy concept.
Yeah. If you had a long enough hallway.
If yeah, or a weak enough phaser.
Yeah.
Get one that goes the length of your room. That's clearly the sensible thing to do.
Oh. We had the weapon that the Zindi used.
Ah, the big ball weapon.
The big ball weapon.
Probably one of the more powerful weapons ever featured on Star Trek.
Yeah.
Luckily, no one ever thought to do that again against anybody.
No.
At any point.
Yeah. Hold that.
So many things, stop them firing the weapon and all that sort of thing, and, well...
Well, it was the fact that they sent one... And with all of Starfleet's intel, it managed to get there and wipe out a good portion of North America.
No, it just cut a line, didn't it?
Yeah, cut
across
a line.
Across Florida and
oh, and then the
like
other
that.
One was going to be a massive one that was going to destroy...
Blow up the world.
Blow up the whole Earth or something.
What did you think of the whole story arc of Season 3 of Enterprise?
Well, it was a massive and quite blatant 9/11 allegory, wasn't it?
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was, I mean, you had like little tearaways with the suicide bombers on the ship in one episode.
Oh, yes.
And yeah, the fact that it was a sneak attack against North America specifically, and then they had to go into uncharted territory with a complex series of political agendas and people in a weird area of the world that no one really knows much about. Of course, the Middle East. Really, no one knows anything about that, sarcastically.
There were a few weird episodes thrown in. I mean, they weren't all about the Zindi thing.
No, there was the one with the guy who was lonely and he wanted Hoshi and he stole Hoshi and...
There was another one where they came across the ship from the past, but actually like 100 years in the future or something like that.
Can't remember.
So many complicated things. I think the reason why it didn't do as well as they'd like it to have done... When you take a show, for example, like 24, every element of every show is dedicated to that plot. It is essentially a 24-hour-long movie.
Mm.
Whereas when they did it with Season 3 of Enterprise, it didn't work like that. There were occasionally episodes where at the beginning they'd mention the Zindi thing and at the end they'd mention the Zindi thing, but the in-between would be about something completely unrelated.
Well, the thing that was the biggest problem with that, I mean, everyone sort of copycatted 24 when that format became big, because, I mean, it had been done before anyway. Murder One did it long before 24.
Right.
Years before, but no one caught on to it in America. In Europe, everyone it was a very popular show, Murder One. It was an entire series arc dedicated to one murder trial. Okay. And every facet of the murder trial. And there was like a couple of episodes at the beginning of the series which went off on little different trials. But then after about episode 5, the rest of the 20 episodes were dedicated solely to this one trial, this one murder trial with a big kind of whodunit ending.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it never took off. And then 24 came along and bam, this, you know, everyone realized, ah, people can pay attention and they can watch a show that does continue over one continuous story arc. And then you had Angel Series 4, I remember, came along, and that was a continuous story arc for 22 episodes. It was one big story.
Right.
But where Angel got it right in terms of what they realized about the 24 format was the fact that even though the story is exactly the same, the series is dedicated to one story. The story takes on many different facets and becomes something completely different to what it actually started out being. I mean, maybe the overall objective is exactly the same, but what happens in between, like say with series 2 or 24 or something like that, it starts out about a nuclear bomb, it becomes about averting war, loads of different things happen, allegiances change, there's lots of different things that tie into that one storyline. Whereas with Enterprise,
nothing changed. There was no clever twist at any point.
No, the objective was exactly the same, and it just took them a long fucking time to get to it.
After with 24, we sort of realised that you're not dealing with the actual baddie of the series until episode 9.
At the earliest, God, I mean, the actual baddie of series 1, I think, was until episode 19 or something, until Dennis Hopper turned up.
Of course, Dennis Hopper was in season 1. I forgot all about that.
Oh, yeah. As Victor Drazen, I would kill you, Jack.
Does he do the voice?
Yeah, he does a really crap accent, and I don't know, mine's even worse. I sound Dutch. But, yeah, he's really bad. But, you know, exactly. A season villain isn't going to be introduced until over the halfway mark. You know, so anything that's going on in series 6 of 24 at the moment, for example, is completely redundant to what's going to happen towards the end. Anyway, we digress.
I don't really have anything else to say about the weaponry.
Klingon
swords are very good.
The Batleth,
we see a lot of people get stabbed and gutted with.
It's quite a famous weapon because it is actually pretty much unlike anything that's ever been used.
Certainly very original. I would love a shiny one mounted on my mantelpiece.
Well, Tristan's got one, hasn't he? But it's crap.
Yeah.
It's like not sharp in any sense, but it is actually to scale, and if you actually pick it up, it's fucking heavy. It is made of metal.
I've not seen this.
Have you not?
No.
It's exactly the same as a baffler. It's to scale and everything. It's just metal though, with bandages wrapped around the places where you hold it. It's not wood or anything at that point. But it's the proper thing. It's just not sharp or anything like that.
Well, that's probably a good thing. He'd only hurt himself and others.
You do pick it up and you realise what a cumbersome, difficult weapon it is actually to wield in any kind of sense.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and then you had the knife.
There were a few designers of knives, very famous for their blood channels down the middle.
Yeah, and the bits the that little stick out of the side. Out. Yeah, I love the fact that you have this race, the Klingons, which are all based on honor and dignity, and yet they have a cloaking device and a knife that is specifically designed to stab someone in the back. Thought that was always a little bit of a contradiction in terms of what that race was about.
That's very true. I never thought of that either. God, I'm learning a lot from you tonight, Mike.
Well, anyway, I'm glad to be of assistance.
It's how I like it. Yeah. It's how I like it.
What else have we got? Handheld stabbing weapons. Was there anything interesting? The Jemadar had a little stabbing weapon that they take in on occasion.
Can't remember.
When phases were useless on a one planet. I think they had like a thing where they would go around and stab everyone. That was a particularly violent episode of DS9.
Ah.
Yeah, that was a good one. Who else? Who else really had weapons?
Know.
They didn't really have any special ones. I mean, you had people using ships as missiles in a kind of, again, another DS9 did that.
Kamikaze kind of way.
Yeah, the kamikaze thing with the Jemadar. They'd always fly their ships into other ships and cause maximum damage and maximum casualties.
Yes, they would.
That was quite cool. But you'd always think, wouldn't they just bounce off the deflectors?
Apparently not.
Apparently you go.
Lots of inconsistencies we've come across with the weaponry.
The shields. Never really understood exactly the physics behind
what they achieved.
Yeah.
Sometimes the shields would be hit, but the ship would still shake.
Yeah.
Sometimes the shields would be damaged a bit, but the ship not.
They'd lose power, but surely they'd only lose power if the device that was producing the shield was hit. Maybe, and if you had a perfect shield, then surely that wouldn't happen.
That's it. They aren't perfect shields, though. I suppose that's the problem.
Mm.
So calling it a shield gives us the impression that it is, but
yeah.
Very peculiar.
Yeah.
I'd like someone to explain to me how that seriously works.
Well, they had to lower the shields in order to get a shuttlecraft out beam people down to the surface, didn't they? They couldn't beam through the shields. So that caused a nice dilemma on occasion.
I'm going to have to get some Star Trek literature.
Yeah, I do have the old Star Trek Next Gen technical guide.
That's what I need, the technical guides, all of them, schematics, drawings.
Schematics and drawings.
By the time I'm done, I need to be able to build an Enterprise D.
Mm. I remember I went into hospital when I was about 10 to have grommets put in my ear so I could hear properly.
All right.
And, put under general anaesthetic, etc., etc., which is not a pleasant experience as a young child. It's not a pleasant experience as an adult.
And anyway,
I remember being in a hospital room for a couple of days. My parents bought me the Star Trek technical guide.
That's a good one.
And the next 5 days flew by as I read through it and didn't understand a thing.
When I was in a hospital last, my parents brought me some clean underwear. that was very good of them. And a shirt. And I sat thinking, I appreciate the gift. I'm in hospital, though, and I'm not wearing a shirt.
Mm.
But thank you. I wear pants, though.
Wear pants.
So I don't have to show the nurses my willy.
Yeah. Right, I think we're done with that.
I think we're done with that. Yeah. A shorter episode this week. That's good. Keep it sharp and snappy.
Snappy like and everything. That. Well, I feel that we've missed something somewhere.
If we have, we'll come back to it, and there'll be a lovely new forum for our fans to join and discuss Star Trek with us and other Star Trek
fans. Let us know if you think of any other weapons that we missed.
I'm sure they will. People are very good at pointing out things you miss.
Yes.
Some people are irritating at pointing out things you miss, whereas some people are very good.
Right.
And some people are very quiet. We don't know they're there at all.
No. But there are some people who do the whole na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah.
You forgot to say this.
It's like,
You
do a podcast and fit everything in.
Yeah, we're trying to think of a lot of things. There's over 500 hours of television to go through.
That's it. And we haven't watched all of it and stuff.
By our own admission.
Actually, no, I've probably watched all of it at some point.
Pretty sure you've watched every one of them at some point.
And the animated series I've seen.
Animated series as well when I was young.
So, we'll leave it at that. If you like the show, go and vote for us at Podcast Alley or dig us on dig.com. Mm-hmm. You can listen to us on the Simply Here audio podcast channel from Simply Syndicated. Just go to simplysyndicated.com/simplyhere, download the dashboard widget, subscribe to the RSS feed, all sorts of stuff.
Listen to our other shows. If you like movies or you like television and you like us, then chances are you're going to like some of our other stuff. This week on Movies You Should See, it is the...
I don't know.
American History X. That's what we were discussing this week.
No, that was last week.
No, it's this week.
Okay.
Casino Royale is what we were discussing last week.
Yes, you're right. Sorry, I'm just trying to get it all sorted in
my
head.
Never question me, Richard. Always right.
I apologize. Yes, it's American History X. Okay, thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back next Monday.
Bye-bye.
Bye.